Okay, welcome to day six. The only thing separating day five and day six were a 1 hour nap. So I woke it up from that behind the trailer. I'm looking at the absolutely stunning beginnings of a sunrise over rolling hills. It looks really beautiful. Peachy, orangey tones, and purple hills going back into the distance. Doing some star jumps to keep warm. Having a Red Bull and a jam slice to get myself energised. And as a little treat, I'm going to have a look at the tracker to see where I am in relation to everyone else, and then I'm going to hit the road, and I'm hoping that that 1 hour sleep is just enough to kind of stop me being really drowsy and when it's fall asleep again. And the plan is to push through into the checkpoint today, which will be extremely exciting, as checkpoints always are. So I can't wait. Welcome back to day six on GB Duro. And this is more like it, this is what I'm talking about. I've spent the morning just going through the most beautiful landscape in glorious sunshine. Well, the sun's been coming up and just casting this insane early morning orange light over everything. So done a lot of stopping to take photos of things, just everything looks brilliant. And this part of the country is absolutely stunning. I'm not sure if I've really realised before, and I'm also not sure exactly where we are, but we're on the Pennine Bridleway, or the Pennine Way, it might be called. It's a national footpath / bridleway, a route that's been created. So presumably we're in the Pennines, and it's just incredible. Beautiful, lots of dry stone walls. Nice, handsome, perfectly shaped hills. Craggy trees. Little stony kind of villages, very nice. And I was riding across a grassy field, and I just had a flashback to when my dad and my uncle took me on a cycling trip on the South Downs Way when I was little. And I've thought about this before, but this was just another thing that really highlighted it to me, how much of a direct link there is between that trip and what I'm doing now. And I think I've identified a time where I was really happy and everything was simple, and we were on this mad adventure with these two guys that had done lots of stuff and lots of adventuring together. And I was kind of along for the ride, and it was so exciting and fun. We slept in a barn one night, and you know, last night I slept in a farmyard. And then we took our rigid, like non-suspension steel or aluminium frame mountain bikes and did like a 3 day ride on gravel, over fields, basically non-scary, non-technical mountain biking. And I think that's what I've wanted to get back to ever since then. And this ride is basically the ultimate expression, or the most extreme version of what I was doing back when I was, I don't know, 11 or 10, 11, 13, 15, between those sorts of ages. And then after that trip, I think we might have done one on the Isle of Wight as well. And then I would go with my mates. Well, actually, we only did one trip, me and my mates, Andy and Tudor. And we, again, just took our mountain bikes that we rode everywhere, just day to day. And got our backpacks, got a tent and a stove and all, and cooking equipment and clothing, all the stuff we could need. And we did a 3-day bikepacking trip basically. And we were on like footpaths and bridleways and roads. It's exactly the same as this. So it's just nice to trace that line back to its origin and think about where the desire to do this kind of thing comes from and what I'm looking for out of it. And how I feel this morning on in a scene that could be from either of those trips from the past. I can almost have my dad and my uncle and my mates here with me. I'm just feeling really good about it all. It's a nice feeling. Well, things went downhill pretty rapidly after that last message. I haven't been able to do any kind of live updates today from GB Giro because my phone died and the charging cable didn't seem to work for it. So I've got a new cable. I'll charge my phone up. Just after I last checked in, I came off the bike on a quite an innocuous, fairly friendly bit of gravel section, just sort of lost a lot of speed and then toppled over. And like the last time, crucially, toppled over on my right hand side and it damaged the gears. So I then spent the next sort of 2 or 3 hours riding along and adjusting the gears, and it just wasn't really getting anywhere. And then I just kind of wrenched it, and it just by some fluke worked, and they were absolutely perfect. So I just left that. We've had quite a nice day really after that. Quite a lot of road, nice lanes and things, and it was kind of all building up to checkpoint 2. And immediately before that, the Great Dun Fell, which is a really big climb, which I actually did on All Points North a couple of months ago, so I know that one, and so I knew that was going to be hard. And then coming off the back of Great Dun Fell, which is what I've just done, over a sort of bridleway footpath type thing. Hiya. That's what I want to be doing. There's just a guy rambling around with a map. Definitely just looking at sheep. Definitely got the right idea. So, this last section, which I'd kind of been warned about, or I was a bit worried about, was easily, well, worse than I expected actually. So getting to the top of Great Dun Fell, I still had 14 kilometres, and basically it was going through this gorge where there was a river going through it, and then broken up moorland and kind of bog and bits of track and grassy areas and loads of rocks going through it all. So it's picking through all of that stuff at walking pace. And I fell off another couple of times. I think I've done some more damage to the gears as well. I'm feeling pretty deflated from it, to be honest. I'm not feeling great. And I need to get to the checkpoint and regroup, because at the moment I've got a broken bike. And that last section's kind of taken the wind out of my sails a bit. I just don't want to do that kind of stuff. I just don't get it. And I don't know why it's in this race, to be completely honest. So I'm assuming there'll be more of that in the second half of GB Giro. But if I can get my bike fixed, I'll carry on. I definitely don't want to have gone through all that stuff for no reason. So I'd really like to get to the end, and I think I can get to the end if my bike works. So fortunately that horrible gorge bit wasn't the entire 14 kilometres, it was about half of that. And now we're just on some nice, well, there was a lovely swoopy gravel section after that bit, and now we're on some lovely country lanes just as the sun's starting to get a bit low in the sky and cast some nice shadows across. And we're back to the kind of scene that we were in yesterday evening. Just lovely, peaceful English countryside in the summertime evening, and it's unbelievable. It's so cool. I love it. And I'm just pleased to be out of that bloody gorge, to be honest. Arrived at checkpoint 2 in Garrigill. Seemed like I'd never get here, coming across the dreaded and infamous final section of the second stage, which was just hellish. But I've arrived at this tiny little picture postcard village surrounded by lovely rolling hills and scenery. And there's a tiny little town hall tucked away in the corner of this village, which is serving as the GB Giro checkpoint. And there's a campsite out the back. We're all going to be bunking down tonight in the town hall, and some of Philippa's friends have come to lay on food for us, which is absolutely incredible. So we'll have a big feast. There's beers, and they're operating a sort of tuck shop system where you kind of tally up what you've had and then pay at the end. So just like the first checkpoint, everything's been thought through to give the weary traveller everything we need without it kind of feeling like we're being too pampered. You know, we still have to fix any issues that we've got. Speaking of which, I'm going to have to really try and sort out my bike and try and get these gears working. But it's going to be, even though it's a lovely break, what I learned from the last checkpoint is you can't just turn up and switch off and have a nice little relax. There's so much stuff to be done, and I think I'm going to be pretty much constantly doing stuff and working through a list of sort of admin to manage all my kit and make sure it's all up to scratch and working, to dry my tent out. I think it's going to take up all my time basically between now, which is about 7, and going to bed, and then probably in the morning a bit of faff as well. But for now, I'm going to go and have a shower, have a beer, and then enjoy a big meal, hopefully. And the whole gang is here. We've got the whole crew that have constantly been at the same sort of pace, you know, ballpark, minus Miles and Meg, who will be turning up shortly. But it's going to be a good little party atmosphere in there tonight. I think a lot of relieved riders. Right, okay, so we're here at checkpoint 2 in Garrigill. Everyone's had a good night's sleep and some food, and we're just ready to head out for the next day. I found some riders busily doing their prep and getting packed up. Here's Pete. How was the end of that section yesterday for you?
I definitely lost all of my sense of humour by the end of by the mid section of it, crossing the river about 3 times, and just fortunately, I guess it didn't completely. There was the last, I don't know, 7k of it was actually on track, so yeah. That was then soon became a distant memory. But the climb up to Dunfell was pretty special. I haven't gone all the way up there before. But I have to say, I'm even with all this prep, I'm still being quite ignorant as to what I'm actually got facing today. I have no idea. I saw there was a peak. It's still quite a significant peak, I think, we've got on the first step.
Best not to look.
So, yeah, I think just crack on, really. It's going to be hot today. I think I'm slowly getting into a rhythm.
How's everything holding out with your bike?
Bike seems to be all okay, actually. I'm quite surprised. Chain falls off occasionally. I'm running this oval ring that seems to sort of be working. I've just got so much stuff. But I can't work out what I can shed, if at all. So, got to live with it, I guess.
That's good, Ted.
Okay.
That's
the lonely life.
Peer pressure.
On the first
day.
That's right.
Yeah. Someone's so resilient and strong.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I do always carry way too much food.
I really don't want to end up with no food. Like, 2 months for me. I don't think I've had any. Yeah.
It's like a competition, isn't it? Do you have to get 8?
Well, 8 I think will fit nicely in a feed pouch.
Yeah, that's your logic, isn't it? Like, what will get in there with the least possible waste of space? Like,
that is really space calorie efficient.
Yes.
Like that.
That's the equation you're going for.
Yeah.
Some time and chill.
Yeah.
This stage of the race when mechanicals start happening and people's bikes start breaking. Fraser's just off to the bike shop to go and buy a new tire, because he's had about how many punctures have you had, Fraser?
About 8.
Hey, that was just yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Every time I see him, he's sat down at the side of the track trying to repair his wheel. So he's off to the bike shop to get a new tire, which will be the solution to all of his problems. And then Angus is stuck here for a while because he's waiting for a new fork to be shipped over, because he cracked his yesterday. My bike's a complete mess. I'm not sure how it's going to ride today. I'm going to have to test that out in a minute. But machinery being tested to the max and starting to fall apart a bit. Let's see how Penelope's getting on with her her mechanical problems. Oh, sorry, forgotten your name. Priscilla, how's your bike holding up?
Not bad. It was making some noises yesterday, but I think it was the rear axle wasn't done up tight enough, I'm hoping. Fingers crossed.
Simple as that. I mean, I found you carrying your bike across the landscape because you didn't think you could ride it.
Well, that's when the chain was jammed.
Ah.
And then I tried to dislodge the chain and I gave up very quickly. So carried my bike, which seemed like the easier option. But yeah. Then I had another go, a bit more patience, and got it out.
Yeah, determination paying off.
Yes.
This is a trade-off, though, isn't it? Because you're just like, I can't spend time doing it.
So I'll just carry my bike over this massive hill.
And you kind of panic. You're like, it's going to be quicker to, yeah, to carry
it. It's going to be quicker to carry my bike 4 kilometres to the road to then hitch a lift or a bike shop.
Yeah, it's a bit of a theme emerging at the moment. Lots of people's bikes and equipment breaking down and failing.
Yeah. We're only midway through. Well, no, we're more than midway through now.
Okay, so let's catch up on the road then.
Let's.
Okay, so talking of mechanical problems that are cropping up in the GB Giro, Angus, what's going on with you?
So I was cleaning my bike yesterday, noticed a little bit of chip in the paint on the fork, and then was disappointed, to say the least, to find that I've managed to put a little crack in it. Obviously, when I came off somewhere, fell over. So I scraped back the paint and sanded it down. But luckily, Mason is sending me a new fork, so it should be here by 10 o'clock today. And I'll be able to fit that, re-bleed the brakes, and then hopefully be back on the road by early afternoon.
It's pretty impressive stuff, not only doing the actual riding, being self-sufficient with resupply and everything, but also you're going to have to half rebuild your whole bike with no workshop.
Yeah, I'm I hope it goes well. I think I've got everything I need, but I might need to try and improvise with a few tools.
Might work out quite nicely to give everyone else a head start and see how much you can catch up. Well, see how quickly it takes you to catch up.
It'd be nice to pass everyone. Yeah, hopefully I'll be sort of passing people over the next 2 days instead of just like seeing them at the start and
a bit more interesting for you.
Yeah, get to actually see people.
Cool. Good luck with the repair. Hope it goes all right.
Thank you.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.